Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We are here. It is game week, and Mark Grody is on it at Hallis Hall, where there was a lot of news. There were people that you haven't heard from in months that spoke on the record. Mark Grody joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Our first week one Bears hit of the season. Two words today. Two words for sure today. Groats, what do we know?
I got three letters for you. LFG is what it's all about out here. Yes, the doors to the 2025-2026 Bears season quite literally opened today as we were allowed into the Bears' very spacious, very plush locker room for the first time this year. Headlines: Braxton Jones will be your starting left tackle in week one against the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football coming up at Soldier Field. So he is the guy. You will hear from Braxton Jones, I promise, in this Bears report. Jalen Johnson was present in the locker room. He did tell us that he has a groin injury. He does not know at this moment if he will be able to play against Minnesota. That's where I will start. Here's what I'm going to do with Jalen Johnson. There are two cuts. I'm going to take you guys through the first two cuts, and then we will open it up for discussion like we always do. But let me play these two very important cuts from Jalen Johnson as the mass media of Chicago gathered around his locker, again, in the locker room. And here is Jalen on his status and his injury.
Jalen, are you playing?
I'm doing everything I can to play. I know I had a good workout this morning, so I'm feeling good. Probably the best I've felt all offseason. Training camp per se, but just trying to do everything I can to be back.
What's the injury?
I had a growing injury over the offseason. I was doing some releases with some receivers and stuff like that, and honestly I would say a freak accident as far as the injury. Same movement I made plenty of times, and just when I felt that I knew I was gonna be out some time, because the amount of pain that I had and just the feeling that I had, I knew I was gonna be out. But I think for me it was just like in that moment, just letting God work through me and around me in whatever way it looked like, whatever he was protecting me from or preparing me for, I was taking it head on. So, I mean, it's definitely been a journey, been frustrating going in the training room to the weight room, back to the training room for 6, 7, 8 weeks now. So, I mean, for me, it's just a mental test.
You had, I think, playfully taken some jabs about your contract. Some other guys have passed you up. So, just kind of, I think you were being playful. Maybe you weren't, but so none of this had you not practicing in training camp has nothing to do with the contract. Is that correct?
You know me better than that. I ain't never held out. I haven't ever done any of that. So, I mean, for me, for the media, it's a good play as far as the contract and the timing and things, but I'm not that type of cat.
All right, he likes our silly little reindeer games and the things that we like to talk about on Sports Talk Radio. Here's one more from Jalen before. I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. But here is a key question to Jalen Johnson with a very interesting answer. He was asked, where do you think your conditioning is in terms of keeping up with game speed?
I like to say I can go out there and play, but, I mean, it's definitely hard to. I feel like if we had a game today, it wouldn't be a thing. But I think really this week will be important for me to get the pads back on, get practices under my belt, game speed, moving around, covering guys, communicating. I think that all will help me. But again, there's not too much you can replicate in the game.
It's good stuff, Mark Grody. I think, Lawrence, I heard you say it off the mic, but that's a hell of a job by Grody to ask a very, very key question about the contract stuff, just to get that clear.
Yeah, because there have been so many people that have been wondering about it, Groats, and it was him. Like, it wasn't, like, we weren't thinking that until we went back and he had made mention of it. And I agree with you, Groats, like, jokingly, he had made mention of it. So I'm glad that you gave him an opportunity to clear that up.
Yeah, and honestly, like, up until I asked that question, I didn't know. I didn't know if he was being playful. I didn't know if maybe there was something to him not practicing because of that. And part of it is, I think this is one of those times, and nobody from the Bears, nor Jalen Johnson, nor any player in that locker room had to be specific about any of the injuries. But I do think that if this is the groin injury that they're talking about and he has not been practicing, I think this is one of those cases where they could have, and maybe even should have, told us what was going on, that it was a groin injury, and being a little bit more specific about it. And maybe Jalen didn't want to share, and maybe they didn't know the extent of it. But I feel like maybe this is one of those cases where they could have added a little bit more texture in order for us all to kind of be like, what the heck is going on with Jalen Johnson, who is, until further notice, guys, for my money, the Bears' best defensive player right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's accurate. It's interesting. You know, I love his, you know me better than that. I've never held out. And he didn't. They were able to come to a contract agreement because the communication was good. It's like, it's a tricky situation because Jalen has all the earmarks of one of those volatile, look at me, hold out corners. But he doesn't really have a history of being that guy in the public. He really doesn't. But we're so conditioned to think that he reminds us of one of those guys.
An archetype.
Yes, yes, yes. He reminds us of one of those as an archetype. But it's not really him. So it's fascinating. And then with the new regime in the coaches, I mean, this is a guy who got hurt on his own. We know from our conversations, Jalen's dad was a defensive back. Jalen's brother is a defensive back. He's got a full offseason plan that they all work on together.
And they're coaches.
Yeah, and they're coaches. So he hurts himself, quote, doing some releases with receivers on his own. But imagine being a new coaching staff and being like, what? Our star corner was working out on his own? You guys didn't know about this? Like, I understand why there's awkwardness surrounding it, Mark. Don't you?
Yeah. No, totally. Totally. I understood it, and I was one of those people who occasionally did speculating or not ruling things out. And unfortunately, because people want answers, it sort of forces us into that corner of doing such things. You know, Ben Johnson, too, and he talked about, you know, like in terms of, because people at this point want to know, is the guy going to play? Ben Johnson did say, I thought the key quote from him that I jotted down here for this report was, whenever a guy misses that amount of time, you have to be very cautious. Now, I have, even going back a couple of weeks ago, my stance has been, I'd be shocked if Jalen Johnson did not play. Today, I might back that up just a little bit because the entire tone of the conversation, obviously I just played you guys just a few minutes of, you know, a 7 or 8 minute conversation with Jalen Johnson. The entire tone of it, just to sum it up for people that were listening, Jalen Johnson was not out there, you know, in this interview saying, oh yeah, I'm playing. You can't stop me from being on that field. Justin Jefferson is playing. I will play. It wasn't like that. He has a very measured approach, which I think, generally speaking, is good. We've seen enough guys play hurt, whether in baseball, Kyle Tucker, or in football. And, you know, you don't need to try to be a hero. You want that guy out there, obviously, with what's coming at the Bears. But the approach from Jalen Johnson has been totally and completely measured.
Before we go away from that, because I think the point that you made about Justin Jefferson is really key. And I want to stay with that for a second.
Sure, sure.
You couldn't pick a worse person for the Bears to start against with this particular injury to Jalen Johnson than Justin Jefferson. It's just, he's so good. He's so efficient with his steps. And this is the type of matchup that if you're a football fan and a Bears fan that you want to see. You want to see your all-pro corner go up against a guy that's really good and maybe the best receiver in the league.
Yeah, you do. But when Jalen says, if it was today, no. Then, I mean, that shows you how much work there is to do.
Yep.
and I'm a little. I
got 6 days.
I'm worried now. I mean, this was a topic where you tried to get me to move to Worrytown, and I was only, you know, I was stopping and getting gas in Concernville. I wasn't checking out property on Jalen Johnson, but
now you are.
Yeah, I'm a little worried now. I don't know if he's going to play.
Honestly, Spiegel, same with me. Same with me. You know, like we all have information. I hear from sources, talk to people who give me ideas of what is going on, but. Honestly, yeah. After that conversation, like he's walking around, he looks fine, but it is a groin injury for which he did say he has a lot of pain. So we could be looking at obviously a backup in that position when it all goes down.
Okay, so now let's talk about the other position of note, the left tackle spot. How did we get here, Groat?
Well, yeah, as people know, I mean, there's been a competition from the beginning, one in which you had Ozzie Trapillo, you had Braxton Jones, you had Karan Amagaji, you had Theo Benedet getting the late call to potentially compete. And I think that we all sort of figured out by process of elimination, it has to be Braxton Jones, even if he's not 100%. But here is the Bears head coach Ben Johnson on why Braxton Jones, the left tackle.
He knows what he's doing. Is it perfect every play? No, it's not. But we did see the execution go up over the course of the last few weeks. And so there is a trust level in him knowing what to do. And we think that he's going to continue to ascend the more reps that he gets.
He knows what he's doing. It's not great, but he knows what he's doing.
That did not sound like a full-throated endorsement right there.
It's honest, man. No, it's honest. That's why he wants him to lose slower. I know you're going to lose. Just lose a little slower, would you, in pass pro? Unbelievable.
Yeah, we were Weedsy and I were talking about that, Dan Weeder and I on the Take the North podcast, that look, the good part is that one thing we know about this coaching staff, you're not going to get a ton of hyperbole. I'm sure we'll get some of that because it's just the nature of the business and the nature of guys wanting to talk about guys. But look, Ben Johnson has been very consistent throughout. Well, that's the one thing that I don't like that the competition went the way it did, where you don't have a guy that you're just like, yeah, he is the dude. But the Bears have been pretty, very transparent about it and making it a real competition and now telling us that, yeah, he's the guy, but essentially it's because, you know, it's by default. Nobody came and grabbed it. He did say that he's executed better, so it's important to hear that from Ben Johnson as well. But this is not ideal going into the start of the season. Did have a good conversation with Braxton Jones in the locker room. And just to give a little texture to this, had a pretty candid conversation with Braxton Jones after the Buffalo game, which was the second to the last preseason game. And essentially, just summarizing what he told me that day was, you know, because I asked him, you know, what do you think about, you know, being challenged? And Ben Johnson and Dan Roschar saying that nobody's grabbed this. And he's like, yeah, I get it. I understand where they're coming from. But also, basically, again, paraphrasing, he was telling me, understand where I am coming from, that I wasn't walking 9 weeks ago, that my ankle was fractured. So in other words, he's saying I am as up to speed as I possibly can be relative to that. So Braxton Jones, I took the mic up to him with other reporters and said, are you good to go?
I mean, you've been very honest with your recovery and the process that you've been through to get to where you are. Are you ready, full force, to be the starting left tackle?
I've been ready. There's just some things you personally you want to clean up, but I think the amount of reps and, you know, them priming me for this situation has been great. So I just think going forward, it's just cleaning each mistake up, and you're going to have those. This is the National Football League, but cleaning it up, being consistent, and being the driving force of that.
You mentioned how you have learned to kind of deal with the Chicago media or big market media in general. How different is it as you stand here right now on the first open locker room of this year relative to the first one you had?
I mean, obviously there's a lot more talk around it this year, obviously at the left tackle position. So there's a lot of media on it, of course. But, I mean, I kind of take it the same. I'm going to be the same person regardless if that's, not going my way, going my way. Regardless of what it is, I'm going to, be the same and try and be consistent as possible and be the same with you guys. So, I mean, obviously the first time doing this, it was not like this. But, you know, now the opening of this season and the talk behind it, obviously it's going to be like this. But like I said, regardless of, you know, how many of you guys there is, how many there isn't, I'm going to be the same. And I'm going to approach the game the same how I always have.
He's an impressive dude. He's always been an impressive dude since coming here as a fifth-round pick. It's like, and you know, Matt Bowen called him a league-average starter on this show last hour or so. And that makes sense to me. He could have a very nice, long career, make a lot of money his family and generations to come.
If he's just solid this year, he could make $100 million next year. I'm not kidding.
Some team will be like, "You guys started for 4 years. Let's go.
What happened with Charles Leno."
Yeah.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. If he makes it through the season, let's say he plays 15 out of 17 games, and the 15 games that he plays, it's okay. That's enough to have someone sign him for a big chunk of change over a 4-year or 5-year contract.
He's been doubted every year, and then he just keeps popping up as a left tackle. And I get what you're saying, like league average at left tackle. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's not terrible. You know what I'm saying? Like he has been a serviceable left
average
tackle. I think people look at that speech and they say, yeah, he's upgradable. You know, you could upgrade that because he was a fifth round. I mean, you still get put into that fifth round sort of box that guys get put into. And I asked that question relative to his first year because when he was named the starting left tackle, you guys remember it, he got up in front of the media and said, yeah, guys, I couldn't believe it either that I was named the starting left tackle.
Hey, man, Charles Leno was a seventh round draft pick who retired after 9 years, could have played more, and earned $61 million in his career.
Trivia question. Who was supposed to be the starting left tackle in Charles Leno's place?
Ozzie Trapillo.
James Brown, Godfather of the Hold.
Think about it. I had a very good relationship with this man. His name is Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins.
Oh, that's right.
Was supposed to be that guy, and then he became a guard. So that's how much things change.
Kind of like what they want to do with Karan Amagaji now. Like, let's make him a guard if he's going to be on the team.
Hey, it worked well. It worked very well for Tevin Jenkins.
It did.
Right?
It did. Groats, hang on, because you said you got more stuff, so we want to make sure that we give you enough time. Let's take a break. There's more from the Bears locker room that you need to hear as a Bears fan. Mark Grody has got a continued supersize Bears hit for you next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Ah, Grody. We're doing a little overtime Bears Hit Two Words with Mark Grody because there's a lot that went on at Hallis Hall today. All right, sir, catch us up on what's going on with everyone's favorite collection of traits, Tyreek Stevenson.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, Tyreek Stevenson, who will be a starting cornerback on opening night on Monday, hopefully opposite of Jalen Johnson. It could very well be Nashon Wright. I'll have something on Nashon Wright during the Nuggets portion of this particular broadcast. But Tyreek Stevenson, here's what's up with Tyreek Stevenson.
Tyreek, what's the biggest thing you worked on in training camp this year?
Pretty much silencing the outside noise. I took heed on making sure that my outside circle is pretty much good, so all I have to do is just focus on football and preparing for every game like it's my last.
That heat get too much?
No, it was just life problems. I fixed them both, but it's pretty much good. I'm really just ready to play football at this point.
Outside of that, are the things that you worked on the field, or is it just sharpening up the skills that you already have?
Sharpening up the skills I already have, and especially with this defense and how we playing it this year, just making sure that my technique is always up to par, because at every play we're going to be pressing. So just making sure that every play I could go out there and do the same thing over and over again and make them change their game instead of me changing mine.
You love that pressing?
Yes, I love everything about it.
Everybody love that?
Yeah, everybody loves it. I'm pretty sure everybody on this row right here is up to the part to go out there and press every play.
What more has Dennis Allen brought to this group and prepared you for a Monday night debut?
I would say he brought like this grit and this craziness that he has. But I love it though. It feeds off into the team. Just his confidence and how he wants his defense to play and how he sees his corners playing is definitely everything I love in a coach. So I'm just definitely excited to go out there.
So Tyreek excited about that, and the stuff about the on the field is good. Lawrence and I both made a face.
We sure did.
Quizzical.
Is he okay?
Outside noise is one thing. I usually think that means like criticism or whatever, but he said life problems. So
yeah, that's got me a little concerned.
Well, I mean, if he got him dialed in a little bit, Groats, does life problems and clearing that up mean that he will be more focused on tasks at hand? Is that the idea? I wonder.
I mean, it sounds like it. That, because honestly, I'll be honest with you guys. Like when I asked the question, I was more looking for on the field stuff, and I mean that was my follow up because I wanted to actually get to the question, and obviously that turned out to be the more interesting answer. So I accidentally elicited that from Tyreek Stevenson. And one thing, and having listened to it, because sometimes it's hard to process in real time, when I went back and listened to that, I was like, "Huh, is he just talking about all the stuff from last year?" Or, and obviously I would not have pressed him on a personal level, but that it is something that I will probably swing by his locker at some point in time and just make sure. Are you just talking about all the stuff from last year? When I say all the stuff, the Washington game. And obviously I don't know if he had his best year in terms of just playing the cornerback position, but I think that that does beg a follow-up, which I eventually will come up with. So I think it's interesting that you guys caught on to that as well. And I was going to let it play out and listen to hear if you guys heard it the same way, and it sounds like you kind of did.
Well, here's hoping that he's got a lot of things figured out. I think it's really interesting the way that he's been talked about in this camp. You talk about making guys earn it. You'd have thought that he would have been the number one corner, and I suspect that he will be the number one corner for this team if Jalen is not available. But they've been talking about everyone else other than Tyreek Stevenson, I guess, in a way to say, hey, we'll make the choices around here, or to motivate him.
Yeah, and I mean, we like Nashawn Wright,
yeah,
probably would be a starter in this game on Monday night if Jalen Johnson can't. Like, they sort of elevated him over two guys in terms of the way they were talking about him. Not just Tyreek Stevenson, but Terrell Smith,
right,
who I realized was not available early on in OTAs. He was a little bit day-to-day, but we don't know exactly what was going on. And now he's out for the season. So that was, hey, new regime has their guys. And I think that they sort of handled the Tyreek Stevenson situation quietly and in the best way possible, you know, and they didn't answer questions directly, I don't think, about Tyreek Stevenson and what happened last year, because there's a lot of Ben Johnson and even DA, Dennis Allen, we weren't here last year. So it's a fresh script. They know exactly what happened last year.
I think they probably suspect they'll have stuff that they can talk about with Tyreek that he may do, you know, wrong or make a mistake or whatever. They don't have to go to last year's mistakes. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, help us with the defensive line. You know, I know they brought in, was it Isaiah Foskey for a tryout today, but Dio Odengbo, much is expected for Dio Odengbo this year.
Oh, you want to talk about Foskey, huh? Speaks, you really want to get into the Isaiah Foskey talk? No. Dio Odengbo, I stopped by his locker today.
Of course you did.
And guys, expectations do come with a three-year, $48 million contract.
Do you feel pressure, responsibility when it comes to that? Because you got to hear your name out there.
I think it's just a responsibility executing at the end of the day. I feel like it's no different than, you know, anyone's responsibility as a starter in the NFL. You know, your responsibility is to do your job at a high level, and our job is to get to the quarterback. So at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, doing your job at a high level.
Do you expect at this point to get into being a double-digit sack guy, or do you feel like you have other responsibilities beyond that that are just as important?
I would say yes to the question, but, I mean, at the end of the day, the responsibility is to, you know, play within the defense and do what it takes for the defense to be successful. But, I do expect to be a double-digit sack guy. I mean, that's a goal of mine, and that's something I do expect of myself.
When you were introduced, and Ryan Poles, obviously your general manager, was introducing you. I asked him the question, you know, that you haven't had the double-digit sack seasons. And he said, turn on the tape. Watch what this guy does. What do you do? Like, if I turned on the tape, what would you say Dayo Odangbo does?
I disrupt the game on you know, against the run and the pass at the end of the day. Disrupt the quarterback in multiple ways and find a way to help the team win.
Really the last thing. Now, is it fair when people say, hey, he hasn't had a double-digit sack year, or is that not giving you the proper credit?
I mean, that's really, you know, anyone's opinion at the end of the day. You know, I've been successful getting to the quarterback, taking the quarterback down, sacking the quarterback at a high level. So, I mean, you know, everyone's job is to criticize everybody, you know. So, at the end of the day, you know, being myself is what's going to help me be successful. And I've done that in the past, and I'm going to continue to do that in the future.
It's interesting, man. Dude is 25 years old, led the Colts in pressures. His pass rush win rate, he was 44th out of 119 defenders. So he
top
can,
third.
Yeah, so top third. So he can win. They are betting on the come for a guy at 25 with his athleticism. I like the investment. I don't mind the investment.
Well, they've got to find somebody. Like, someone else has to. You can't just have them say, all right, we got one guy that can rush the passer, because it becomes pretty easy to take Montez out of a game if he's the only threat. And I know that DA will do some of this with the looks, with the pressure looks and with the pressure. But it would be nice. The best case scenario for Dennis Allen would be, oh, I have four guys that can get to the quarterback? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Guess what I can do now? I can do all sorts of stuff. I can show all sorts of exotic looks that are going to make offensive nervous if I've got four guys that can get to the quarterback without blitz help.
And I appreciate a projection. That's what this is. And sometimes you got to take a risk. And Ryan Poles has to know that if he doesn't have double-digit sacks, that people are going to talk about it, because that's ultimately what you want out of your edge rusher. And the Bears have not had enough over the years. But I do wonder, this is the first time, like even going back to Flus, when the 4-3 came back to the Bears after Vic Fangio and some of the subsequent DCs were running the 3-4, you know, all due respect to Justin Jones, who was a 3 technique for the Bears, this feels like having Grady Jarrett in there. Could that be the difference? Could Jervon Dexter in his third year make a difference? Obviously, Andrew Billings is back this season after missing so much time. And then you add Dayo Odangbo, who is versatile along the line. Like, I can't take that away from him. Like, absolutely. Like, to get to the quarterback and to be good against the run and to be able to line up anywhere, that all is taken seriously. But everybody understands, and in this building they understand, that guys that are edge rushers, they are paid to get to the quarterback eventually.
Both sides of the line, Groats, are counting on big-time veteran investments in the middle of the line to make the edges better. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the idea. Like, in any version of the 4-3, get there with the least amount of rushers, get there with the push up the middle. Hell, get there with the guys from the fastest way to the quarterback is from the middle of the defensive line, not from the edge.
What about the star rookie?
Colston Loveland, Lawrence Holmes. He is a man of few words right now. Great guy, great talking to him. Colston Loveland, and I'll be honest with you guys, I was, if you listen to anything that I was saying, whether on the Take the North podcast or on the Score, it really is scary to me when guys, rookies, miss the offseason program, the rookie minicamp, the OTAs. That was the case with Colston Loveland. I've seen too many guys whose growth early in a season is stunted because of it. So that was the first thing on my mind, was still right now, is his health and if he is good to go. Here's Colston.
Are you 100%, and how good does that feel if you are?
Yeah, it feels great. It was a long process for sure, but you know, God got me through it, and I feel great now. I'm just excited to get, like I said, get rolling.
Have you ever heard people say that you move differently because you're, you know, kind of this hybrid wide receiver, tight end? And if you have heard that, what do you think that means?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely heard some people say that. I think that just means, I would say, maybe fluid. But, yeah, I'm just trying to become party. I'm just trying to become the best tight end, most complete tight end, you know, I can be to help this team win.
Fluid. He likes to describe himself as fluid. Yeah, he can move like a wideout. That's why he's the hybrid.
Yeah, and honestly, it was when I first watched him play or practice, I was like, oh, he does look different. You know what I mean? Like, I just seeing it with my own eyes, just watching the way they were using him, you know, in motion, lining up in the slot, lining up on the outside. I mean, you understand why Ben Johnson liked this guy, because Ben Johnson kind of rubbed his hands together and be like, ooh, what can I do with Colson Loveland? So it's going to be very interesting to see what they get out of their rookie number one on opening night.
I'm so excited to see the type of matchup problem he might be, considering what you could do and what you saw Detroit do with Sam Laporta. I'm like, ooh, they have one of those guys that he's got the dancer's feet. He's got speed, and considering that Cole Kmet's not a slouch, when they run some of their 12 personnel stuff, it could be a whole hell of a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, like all of a sudden, of course, Cole Kmet gets pushed to the background a little bit because you have this number one rookie. But I think back to, again, the Buffalo game, where you had that beautiful pass from Caleb Williams right down the seam, and it was like, oh, okay. You know, like, because it was such a weird year for Cole last year in terms of getting the ball to him, targeting Cole Kmet. We talked about that way too much after games, where we're all kind of pounding the tables, like, why are you not even throwing to Cole Kmet? I think that that's a situation that Ben Johnson will be able to remedy and get both of these tight ends into the big playmaking.
Some of the biggest news of the day, the Bears announced their five team captains for 2025. Quarterback Caleb Williams, left guard Joe Tooney, DT Grady Jarrett, kicker Cairo Santos, and free safety Kevin Byard. Those are your five captains. Groats, what do we make of that?
Well, one little nugget on the kicker. This is Weeder and I figured out, and with some help from Adam Studzinski too, when we were doing the podcast earlier today, that Cairo Santos is the first time that the Bears have had a kicker as a captain on special teams since the year 2015, and that was Robbie Gould, who in the next year was cut by the John Fox regime, of course. So I thought that was kind of interesting. As far as the other
and then went on to make huge kicks in playoff games after
in
that.
San Francisco, yeah. yes. But if you go back, I mean, Robbie Gould was struggling. Was it worth cutting him? Probably not.
And the other thing is holdover from the Lovey regime. And and wasn't quiet.
Union rep.
He's the mayor. They call him the mayor.
Wasn't a quiet guy. Would tell it like it is inside of that locker room. And right. some coaches don't like holdovers that do that. And then he went to San Francisco. He went to the Giants first.
Oh.
And then went to San Francisco and, you know, went to a Pro Bowl and went to a Super Bowl and kicked really well and had a couple years where he made 100% of his kicks. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a great in hindsight. I don't know. What's the better hindsight, Robbie Gould or Kyle Schwarber in terms of guys?
Kyle Schwarber will be a Hall of Famer. Calling it now.
Well, if he keeps doing what he's doing, I think he needs a few more years of this.
He will.
But
He'll finish second in MVP this year, right?
It could be. Juan Soto's making a charge. But either way,
Schwarber. Who's to say Kyle Schwarber won't have another four home run game and pass up the incumbent? You know?
It's possible.
But anyway, sorry to go Schwarber on you guys.
Bears.
Kevin
bastard.
Byer. Bears. But yeah, because Schwarber loved throwing the football around too at Wrigley Field back
He's
in the
built
day.
Like a football player.
Yeah, he's a badass.
But
man.
He also sang in the Glee Club. That's why he's the best.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. Big time. High school Glee Club killer.
Hey, Speaks. Yeah. I'll do the nuggets around here, okay? All right, with the Glee Club. of Kevin Byard today. So as he was speaking to the assembled masses, and being that he is a captain, I don't know if you guys know this. You probably do. Jalen Johnson. No, you guys know this. He talked about it with you guys, I think. Jalen Johnson, he's been cooking more. And he puts it up on Instagram. He's trying to get creative. He thinks he's a chef all of a sudden. And Jalen Johnson jumped in on the Kevin Byard questioning today. Check this out.
Kevin Byard, what meal are you looking forward to Jalen Johnson making the most?
Can you do a short rib?
Ooh, that's
tough. Tough?
Don't put me out there.
We testing you out week one, you know what I mean? Short rib.
What else?
Short rib over the mashed potatoes, you know what I mean?
A little gravy.
Yeah, a little, I mean, depending on how you cook it. If it's cooked the right way, we don't need nothing, you feel what I'm saying? Just a little seasoning. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, I'm a Brussels sprouts kind of guy, you feel me? Shaved Brussels sprouts. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what you got. Yeah, I'm putting you to the challenge, you feel me?
All right, thanks, guys.
Lawrence is in.
Let me tell you something.
Okay.
Byer was kind of always my guy on this team. He is now cemented as my guy.
Was it the shaved Brussels sprouts?
No.
It's the pork shoulder without the gravy?
It's the idea of you don't necessarily need gravy if the meal is prepared properly. If you make good short rib, we don't have to do all that stuff. It should fall off the bone. That's my guy.
Good luck, Jalen. Got to rise up.
Hey, and Jalen moving away from the challenge. Like, don't ask him what you want. The man told you what he wanted.
Yeah.
He said short ribs over some mashed potatoes. And damn it, you should get that for him.
Go on YouTube, learn how to make it. Let's go.
You can't ask what you want him to make and then be like, I'm not sure about all that.
He's like, don't put me out there. You put yourself out there. Maybe one of the things we'll do with Jalen is we got a kitchen that works here.
Oh, yes, we do.
That has cameras and everything.
Oh, can you imagine Jalen rolling in here day after a game, like 4 hours before his segment so we can get the short rib going?
Cooking for Wani.
Coming in here, making mixed drinks, cutting his finger. You never know. Do that. Can't let him get hurt.
Dude, by the way, you guys playing the lottery?
It's $1 billion now, isn't it?
Yeah. So check this out. You guys probably know Jeff Weiris. He is a cameraman for Fox 32.
I love Jeff.
And yeah, Jeff's the goods, man. I love Jeff. But he was collecting money in the room today, $10 a pop. So in the Bears media room, so we could all share the $1 billion and get lots of hits at it. So just, I'm only bringing this up so. If we win, there'll be nobody on the Bears beat starting tomorrow. So I just wanted to prepare you guys for that possibility that there will be nobody here to cover the Chicago Bears, except for Larry Mayer. Larry Mayer might be doing the Bears hit tomorrow. Because I don't think that he's eligible.
I don't think that's a pretty good scam by Jeff, you know? Nobody wins that thing. So you just, $10. Yeah, I'm going to be doing it. Trust me.
Kind of sounds like a scam that my partner used last year on the Bears-Packers game.
I refunded all those people. All those people, those dollars.
All right, Mike Milliken.
You picked that sweep last year, didn't you, Speed? You picking a sweep of the Packers again this year,
Mike,
Matt?
Mike Mamula. You know what? It's a good question, Mark. I've got a few days but to make those predictions. So.
Oh, okay.
I'll get back to you. I'll handle the predictions around here, okay?
Touche, my friend. Touche. Here's a few other things. And I owe this to Dan Wiederer, who used to cover the Minnesota Vikings, but he pointed out today on Take the North that Nashawn Wright, who very well could be starting against the Minnesota Vikings and Justin Jefferson. Well, I'm sure Tyreek would probably be on him more. But Nashawn Wright used to play for the Minnesota Vikings, used to be on their practice squad, and often used to go up against Justin Jefferson. So whatever that is worth to you, that is the truth. I pulled up at Montez Sweat's locker today. I asked him if he is 100% healthy because last year we know he was banged up a lot and was not as productive. His answer was a strong yes. One thing that was noticeable in the locker room today is that they have TV monitors, a couple of TV screens in the locker room that basically have a very specific itinerary of the things that the players have to do on any given day. But also, in between time, they were just running the Minnesota Vikings preseason games on a loop just to remain, just have everybody remain conscious of the opponent, the Minnesota Vikings. And I thought this was the quote of the day. It comes from Jalen Johnson. I shall read it right now. He says about the Chicago Bears, does Jalen Johnson, quote, "Right now we're looked at as the bad news Bears. So if we want anything to change, then shoot. We gotta go out there and win games." Close quote.
All right. I agree with him on all of that, except for the short rib. Groats,
yeah,
you're the man. Thank you, sir.
Bears.
Good stuff, Mark Grody.
Talk about getting ready. It's week one, and Mark Grody gives you 45 minutes of Bears content.
All relevant, all super solid, much appreciated. You got the Cubs baseball game on your radios this evening, and that will be here. By the way, Cubs take on the Braves at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage begins at 6:05. First pitch at 6:40 on the score.
And the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
Thank you very much. Lawrence, I had an emotional sports sojourn in the midst of the vacation that I need to discuss with you.
Let's do it next here on the...
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
So, Lawrence, I found myself in upstate New York as part of the vacation road trip, right? And I was making a drive from Walton, New York to Saratoga Springs. And I literally looked down the night before at the map and was like, oh, wait a minute. Cooperstown's right there. Would you look at that? And so we spent 4 hours in Cooperstown, New York. My wife, Christine, and I at the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. And she's like, this is your visit, honey. You know, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to see, right? I know how important this is to you. And of course, she was the one who was bawling and emotional moment after moment.
She's a huge baseball fan.
She's a baseball girl. And like the movie there in the movie theater was so beautifully made. But we saw some awesome stuff. The tour of the plaque room, just the basic tour of all the plaques and some of the info that you learn. I had forgotten about the sentence that they added to Jackie Robinson's plaque in 2008, that they added to it the sentence about how he, damn it, I pulled
so
it
you
up.
Forgot it again?
No, I pulled it up and then I had it and I, Jackie Robinson, hold on, talk amongst yourselves.
Well, you know, like we have to end the show.
Yeah, it's time to end the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we had a good time.
That's a wrap.
It sounds great.
How about this, Speaks? How about we make some time tomorrow?
No, whatever.
So that you can talk about Cooperstown without rushing through it. Okay? We'll do that. And then I can talk about my trip to the Negro Leagues Museum. We can do a whole thing.
No, let's just get more nuggets from Mark Grody. Let's just do that.
Lashing out. Huh? He did go really long, though.
He did. He went long.
Super long.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Alex. You guys get me. I had deep, emotional, resonant thoughts.
Well, we got to go.
All right.
Because the Cubs have to take on Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, good call.
All right.
And so Spies has to fly to Cooperstown again to see what's on that plaque.
For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, who's lost in thought. I'm Lawrence Hope saying thank you so much for love and support. You show the show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor tomorrow.
I got something.
Starting at 2 o'clock, and maybe by then Spiegel will figure out what he forgot. Cubs baseball is next.
Tanny, we got to have another little taste because Spiegs is here. Yeah. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.